Welcome to another episode of Chats with Clark. I'm here today with a very special guest, Riley Burke. And as you know, here at Chats with Clark, we don't do poppy intros. So we're going to get straight to the point. Riley, thanks for joining me. How are you doing today?
Thank you for having me. I'm excited. I'm doing great. How are you?
I'm great too. I'm excited to have you here. It's going to be a really fun conversation. And Riley, I should have worn the hoodie that I have from your company.
Oh my gosh.
I really dropped the ball on that one, but
no.
Tell us a little bit about this company that you started. You just are kicking off this company called the Late Night Club. Give us a little bit of a scoop on that.
Yeah. It's a little bit of a long story if that's okay, but I'll try to keep it short. Long story short, it's New Year's Eve night. I went out with like some of my best friends, Emily and Tuesday, who I started the company with, but, we've all talked about starting our own businesses before. We all have business degrees. Like I've wanted to start businesses. Em and Tuesday have talked about owning a coffee shop. And so it was always in the back of our mind. And I think it was kind of, you know, brought forward just during COVID, you know, our kind of wheels were spinning. And we went out New Year's night. We came back. And I think I heard like Em and Tuesday talking about starting like a business or doing some kind of coffee shop. And I was like, whoa. Like if you guys are starting a business, like I'm getting on this with you. Like we all offer different things. Like we all bring different things to the table. Like let's kind of brainstorm here for a second. So around the same time, hoodies with like random quotes on them were like super popular on Instagram and Etsy and TikTok. You know, Barstool Sports were doing hoodies with quotes on them, hangover hoodies. Like there were so many companies that were doing this. So we were just kind of sitting down talking and we were like, what are some things that we say when we're out with our friends? So we're like, you know, cheers, who's buying the next round? Who's buying the Uber, this and that. So we made this like giant list of like all of these things that we would say when we would go out. And the next morning we like read over our list. We were like at brunch reading over the list. We were like, wow, like these all kind of suck, but we know we're in the right direction. Like we wanted to do something that kind of, I don't know, celebrated, I guess. And what am I trying to say? Like, we wanted it to be like very authentic to us. Like we wanted it to relate to what we do on the weekends and what we do with our friends. But then, like I said, like we all have business degrees. Like none of us know anything about fashion. I mean, I could sew a button, but like, that's about it. So I think we were just thinking, you know, well, hoodies are pretty easy. You could just, you know, order them in, we would design them, but we wouldn't have to physically make the hoodies. So yeah, that's kind of how it started. We called it Late Night Club, and it's basically just about celebrating those moments with your friends, whether you're going out to a party or a bar or late night drives, any kind of late night activity. We just wanted it to be very authentic and real and represent us. So yeah, that's kind of how it started. It's about being fun, being spontaneous, and it's been cool. A lot of our friends have been a part of photo shoots and different things. So it's been really cool.
It's so awesome. All three of you are very charismatic and you're all busy too. So like, it makes total sense in my head that the three of you, business oriented, lots of good times, you know, come up with this company that is oriented towards actually after our huge work days and work weeks, we also have a great time.
Exactly. And it's cool too, because, you know, we're sitting down, we're like, okay, there's all these other hoodies out there. Like, how do we make ours unique? Like what sets us apart? So we're just talking, we're like, you know, what do we do when we are pre-gaming or in the car or, you know, getting ready? We're listening to music, right? So yeah. We put a little QR code on all the sleeves of the hoodies. And when you scan it, it takes you to a bunch of different playlists on Spotify and Apple Music. So it's like a pre-game playlist, a party playlist. So it's pretty cool. And like I said, like we wanted it to be very like authentic to who we are. Like this is like what we do on a weekend. And we just wanted to like share that with everyone. So
those are the best companies. I feel like every company that's ever been successful is authentic in that regard. You know what I mean? Do you guys make those playlists or are they customized?
No, we make them. We all sit down, we put in our songs, we FaceTime, like, okay, let's go through every single song. Does this match the vibe? It's a different playlist. So yeah, I mean, we, you know, everything we do is just the three of us. So.
And how did it go when you first decided to kind of launch it? Like the three of you, so you have these ideas on New Year's Eve and you come up with the things the next morning, like the sayings where you're like, all right, these are better. And you've got the idea. Now you had your first launch. How did all of that process go for you?
Yeah. So at first, cause like I said, I mean, we took our business classes, but like, we don't know anything about fashion. Like, I don't know. Like it was kind of foreign to us, and we're like, you know, should we get these printed? Should we try to like screen print them ourselves? So that was actually our first, that was like the first thing we had in mind. We're like, let's order the hoodies, but we'll print them ourselves. Okay. To save money. Okay. So we order all these materials and we're looking on YouTube how to screen print. We're ordering all these paints and things. And it was funny too, because I live in Cleveland, Tuesday lives in Kent, and Emily lives in Hudson. So the three of us were all kind of far from each other. So, you know, anytime we had to meet up, you know, we're driving an hour just to meet up a few times a week. So yeah, I remember literally we're like, well, we need to like set up a shop somewhere. Like we just need space. So we made Emily's basement our little headquarters of Late Night Club. And there were just, you know, hundreds of hoodies down there. And we just set up little tables and we practiced screen printing one night. And I remember we were just like so excited about it. I was like blow drying them so they would dry faster so we could see them. And, you know, after that, we were kind of sitting down. It's like 2 a.m. at this point. We're like, wow, like that kind of took a lot of time. And it's kind of hard. I don't know if you know anything about screen printing, but you have to like physically like wash these screens and then like the stencils. It's just like a lot. There's a lot of moving parts. And we were like, I don't know if this is going to be the best option. Like if we have even like 20 orders in a week, to all meet at Emily's house and like physically make these hoodies. And like, if they don't turn out perfect, we have to waste the hoodie. So we were kind of going back and forth about what to do. And then finally we're like, let's get these like professionally printed. So yeah, it was definitely just a lot in the beginning. You know, none of us really knew how to design. Like Tuesday kind of took that over and God bless her, because it was a challenge, like designing the hoodies on Adobe and Illustrator. And yeah, it was just a lot, but we ended up launching, I feel like I should really know this date. I know we launched sometime in March, but it was super exciting. Like I said, all of our friends were there and that it just meant so much too. You know, they helped with a lot of the photo shoots before and it was nice to have like all their support and we went out after, but it's been good. It's, you know, I'm not going to lie to you guys and be like, it's been the most amazing thing and we've sold hundreds of hoodies, because we haven't. And you know, everything is not always like easy and rainbows and butterflies, but it's been the coolest thing. It's been such a learning experience. And I think for all of us, like where we're at right now, like we're all busy, but I think we're doing the best we can with Late Night Club and we're excited about it. So,
yeah, no, it's such a cool company. And I'm really glad that you guys are staying true to yourselves and putting yourselves out there.
Thank you.
What do you think what do you think your vision is for Late Night Club going forward? Do you have any ideas in the works? Is it going to be more hoodies?
I know yeah.
The disposable cameras, of course, and the stickers that are part of your kind of your company idea.
Right. Yeah. Honestly, I mean, right now we only have like the three hoodies, sweats and cameras, but I think we'd all love to do different color hoodies and different sayings, maybe like shorts and hats. You know, it really just depends. But I think what's cool about Late Night Club is like, no matter if you're in Ohio or New York or California, you're with your friends, you're hanging out, you're having a good time. And I feel like a lot of people can relate to it. So we're excited. We're excited. I don't know where it's going to go, but yeah, we're really excited about it.
Insider info. Yeah, we'll keep that with you.
Yeah, I'll get back to you on that.
It's been fun. I've been wearing the hoodie. Like I wear it, you know, just whenever I'm around campus, people are like, oh my God, I love your hoodie. Like, what is that? I'm like, oh, we gotta check it out. And so a lot of, some traffic has been going your way a little bit.
Yeah, thank you.
Now, Riley, you were finishing up your master's in the midst of all this, right? So you graduated with your undergrad, you're going through your master's, you're starting a company with friends. How did you balance all of that? And what is your master's in too? Like, what is all that dynamic like?
Yeah. So I got an MBA from Cleveland State. I always knew I wanted to go to grad school. I didn't really know when, but with COVID and things and, you know, my senior year of Kent was just kind of abruptly ended. Everything kind of went virtual. So I was like, maybe this is a good time to start. So literally 2 weeks after I graduated, I jumped into grad school. It was all online, of course. But with that, it was almost a blessing because it gave me the flexibility and availability just to kind of be around for things like Late Night Club. None of my professors, I barely had any classes where we actually had to like meet with them. It was all kind of like do it yourself on your own time, which was nice. And I don't know, I have mixed feelings about it, but that definitely helped for sure. You know, all of us were working full time and this was kind of like a side thing, but definitely a lot of early mornings, late nights, staying organized. And I think too, for me, and I think I could speak for them too, it didn't really feel like work. It was more just like fun and exciting. And I think when you're doing things that you're passionate about, you know, it doesn't feel like a hassle, I guess, or a chore. It's more exciting and something that you want to do. So
absolutely. Time and time again, like everything that you keep saying really embodies everything that you describe about the late night club and just that happy-go-lucky, appreciating the moment kind of
idea
that is really, truly embodied in the company and in all three of you. So
yeah, that's what we wanted. So
you're doing it. You are doing it. Congratulations too on the masters and
thank you.
Everything. Now, Riley, people who start companies, I feel like often have a background that is, you know, kind of innovative or has an entrepreneurial touch to it in a way. What is your background like? Have you had that exposure? Tell us a little bit about that.
Yeah, so I've actually grown up in a family business. My dad's dad started his own business, Burke Enterprises. They're distributors of food service disposables. So they're basically selling anything from plastic cutlery to cups to straws. We do Chipotle's bowls and other kind of restaurant supplies. We're at like the fairs and carnivals, like the lemonade cups, french fry buckets, anything like that. So I've been very lucky to have kind of grown up with that. I've been passionate about that since I was maybe like 12 years old. So just, you know, going into the office and traveling with them. And I've always just had a passion for business. And it's been cool, you know, being able to sit in these different meetings and learn from all of these amazing people. So I think that's where it kind of came from, you know, seeing a business that way. And then, you know, I have a lot of friends now and people I've met through school who are starting their own businesses. My sister, for example, she makes like French macaroons and she is selling them to people and selling them to a bakery. So I think just being surrounded by people who are so passionate about, you know, starting their own business, like that's definitely kind of motivated me and like, yeah, to start late night clubs. So.
Yeah, absolutely. There's that like-mindedness. And of course, when you're young, you see that and you see that it's worked out and that you're, you know, your family's happy with it and enjoys it. There's a lot to learn from that just from simply observing. And then
absolutely of course,
into it, then you see all the intimacies and how it actually processes. That's super cool. It's super.
Yeah. It's really exciting. So
what was like your, do you have any defining moments? Do you have any like moment where you remember, so you said when you were 12, it kind of hit with you. Do you have any moments that you could pin back to where you're like, you know, I really knew at this point that this was something I wanted to do? Do you have any like specific stories that come?
I actually do. Yeah. I was, I think I was like 13 or 14. There was this trade show happening in Paris, which is like one of my favorite places in the world. It's called IAPA. It's like the International Amusement Park, something, something, something. So it's like anyone that has to deal with anything amusements is there. So like we were there because of like the lemonade cups, french fry buckets, but you have vendors like Pepsi, you have like the people who are building the roller coasters for Cedar Point is there. Like anything you could think of amusement is there. And it's also like the international show. So you have people from all over the world at this show. And I remember just kind of standing, like we had like our little booth of our products behind us. And I just remember like holding catalogs and talking to people from all over the world. And I think I knew in that moment, I was like, I want to do this like forever. So like I said, super fortunate and lucky to have grown up in that family business and given these experiences. But yeah, I'm really excited about it. My dad's also really excited about it because as a, you know, family business, I feel like, you know, as a parent, you know, you want your kids, like you want them to keep the business going, right? So it's funny. I have four other siblings. Two of us are really interested and the other three just have no interest. So my dad's happy about it for sure.
Yeah, good. It keeps the two of you going. And
exactly.
He's put so much time into it.
Right.
It would be, I could imagine that could be kind of a devastating blow to hear that no one wants to keep on all.
Right. And I feel like that happens a lot with family businesses, which is a shame. But yeah, luckily, me and my brother were super excited about it. So I'm excited.
And now, so are you going to work with the company? Is he working with the company, your brother, that is? What does that look like for the two of you?
Yeah, so, I mean, I've been working part-time there since I was 13, whether that's going to fairs or trade shows or, you know, meetings and things. So I'm going to actually start there back officially in the beginning of June. So I'll be working as like a national sales rep. And then my brother is going to be a sophomore at Ohio State. So he's still in school. He works there part-time in the summer and things, but yeah.
Absolutely. Yeah. That's so cool. I love all this business stuff. Because I just love the creation aspect of it, I think.
I do too. I do too.
Someone has a vision and has the drive and the means to make it happen. There's so many logistical hoops to jump through. And so that impresses me when people do it.
Mm-hmm.
Of course, such a grand skill in your family's case. So congratulations.
Thank you.
You think about that fresh squeezed lemonade too. That stuff's amazing.
Right. I know. It doesn't sound good right now. go ahead.
No, I was just gonna say, yeah, with the sun coming out too and all this summer weather, I'm like, oh my God.
Well, I was gonna say too, I'm so excited because last year all the fairs obviously were canceled because of COVID, but my dad got word a few months ago that I think like every fair is happening this year. So super excited.
Lots of lemonade and fries too.
That's right.
For you guys.
The best.
Riley, who are some of your biggest influences in your life? Maybe like you keep mentioning your dad, so I would guess him, but maybe him and who else, what do you see in them? Kind of tell us a little bit about your influences. I'd love to know. And like, even if you don't know the person, I think that happens a lot too.
Do you have influences? Oh, geez. I mean, there are so many people that like influence and motivate me daily. I mean, I think, you know, like my dad, my parents are huge role models. Even some of my best friends, like I said, you know, Emily Tuesday, my boyfriend, like I love being surrounded by like-minded people. You know, we're all super into business. We all see ourselves like, you know, being successful and you know, we're all dreamers and visionary, like, I think like my circle of friends and even just people I've seen online, you know, I follow some of these people on TikTok. They're like 18, 19, 20. They have these huge businesses and it's just so inspiring to me. And I think, you know, I get a lot of motivation from that.
Yeah, absolutely. Do you find that your TikTok algorithm goes that way too? Just constantly business stuff or what?
A lot of it's business stuff. Yeah, for sure.
And it kind of is a natural tie-in. Now, Riley, you've had some TikTok success. What do you attribute that to?
It's so funny to me. I think TikTok is the craziest app. I love it. But it's just so crazy in the sense that everyone's posting different things on there. And views are just so crazy. You know, one video could get literally 5 views and the next one has 5 million. So it's literally insane. What happened with my TikTok, and this was something else that I started over quarantine. I think a lot of us got TikTok during that time. but my basement, my dad loves pinball machines, right? He's a huge collector. I think he actually, 2 days ago, he had someone take like an inventory of all of his games. He has 1,400 pinball machines.
My God.
And we have about 100 of them in our basement. And I just started recording, you know, TikToks of the basement and they just blew up. They blew up. I think one of them, I think like two of them have over 2 million views.
My goodness. Yeah.
And there might be one more, but it was just so funny to me. People were just blown away. I had someone reach out to me from, I believe it was like Yahoo News or something. They want to write a story on this. It was just so crazy to me. I'm like, it was insane. But I got some followers from that. I like haven't been posting as much lately just because I haven't been home. But yeah, it's funny. I think I could just attribute all of that success to my dad and our basement. So, but yeah, it's a cool app. It's really cool.
It is. You know, I think it was funny. I was just having a conversation with my mom and my sister last night about that. Like, it's crazy how TikTok changed social media in that way. There's no other app. I mean, people are trying now, but none where
right. It
has that dynamic that you can pop in instance. Like you're saying 2 million views and then there's other videos you get like 40. It doesn't even make sense.
Because literally, it's the craziest thing. But I think it's so cool. I mean, every profession, every kind of person, there's kids there. I've seen 90-year-olds on TikTok, like everyone is on there. And I just love, learning new things and seeing like, you know, whether they're in Paris or wherever they are. I think it's just a really cool, fun app.
It's cool. Do you, with the Yahoo thing, I just realize I didn't even ask you about it. Did you end up doing that? I would love to read that article. Did
yeah,
you?
Yeah. So he, he literally like messaged me on Twitter. I don't know how he found my Twitter, but he's like, "Hey, my name is whatever. I'm with Yahoo in the news. Like, I just have a few questions for you, whatever." So yeah, I just like answered these questions, and then he published. I can send you the link, but it was
cool. I'll throw it.
It was cool.
Link, yeah.
Yeah, it was really, I've never had that happen before. I was like, wow, is this like what the TikTokers feel like? Like, it's so crazy. But yeah, that was a really, really fun experience for sure.
Have you had people come up to you and be like, oh my gosh, like that's right. Are you?
Oh my God, no. I wish. I mean, in reality, like I literally have like no followers compared to some of these other people. I think a lot of it has to do with like consistency. I think on any kind of like social media app, like you have to be consistent if you want to build a following. And I just have not been at all. So, but yeah, it's funny for sure. And it's actually that now that you speak of that, I have... This one person reached out to me. He saw one of my videos, and my dad is like a pinball show every year in Chicago, and people like from all over the world come. But I guess like a lot of people who watch the videos are like, oh, I know your dad. I've been to his show, this and that. So that's been cool to connect with, you know, people in like other areas and stuff. But yeah.
Social media is amazing.
I know. It's crazy.
Like that is what it's for. None of the other nonsense, but that is what's really cool about it.
Right.
Just connecting with people you wouldn't even expect. And then having something mutual between the two of you that is unveiled. That's impressive.
Yeah, it's super cool.
So what does he do at this show? So he goes to Chicago every year and puts on a show about
this. Yeah. So it's his own show. He started at 37 years ago, and he basically just wanted to honor and celebrate like the pinball artists, like the people who were designing the games and things. And yeah, I guess like tons of people went. My dad thought it was going to be like a one and done thing, and we've been going for 37 years, and it's crazy to me. I had no idea how many people are still into pinball machines.
Yeah.
So he'll have different pinball artists and vendors, and all these different companies come in. People from Germany, Japan, Australia will fly in for the show. It's the most crazy thing to me, but yeah, it's awesome. It's every year in Chicago in October this weekend, or this year it's like Halloween weekend. But yeah, it's crazy. If you like pinball, you got to check it out.
Yeah. What's it called? What is it
pinball
called?
Pinball Expo.
Pinball. Perfect. Mm-hmm. Yeah. Really cool. You know, you mentioned consistency, like with TikTok, and saying that probably is, you know, a big thing for success or continued success with it. But something that you are very consistent with is your own podcast, right? The Variety Show. What inspired you to start the Variety Show? What's it about? Give us all.
Yeah, this is actually a funny story, because I used to never listen to podcasts. I still rarely today listen to podcasts. I never thought that I would ever start a podcast. So the fact that I have one myself is just really funny to me. But again, this was during quarantine, and I remember being home with my friends. We were like at someone's like bonfire or something, just talking. And one of my friends was like, oh, like you should start a podcast. Like you're always traveling or just, you know, doing different things. Like you should start a podcast. I'm like, well, I don't like right away. I think I was like, I don't know. Like I doesn't make sense. Like, I don't even know how you do that. I don't know how it works. And the other thing too, I was like, well, if I did, like, I don't know what I would talk about, because I feel like I know a little bit about a lot of different things. Like I feel like I'm not like an expert in anything. Like, I'm like, it's not going to be like a beauty podcast. It's not going to be like a health and wellness. I'm like, I don't know what to do. So then a few days went on, and I remember I was with some of my other friends, and I was just telling them, you know, maybe I do want to start a podcast, but I don't know what to talk about. Like, I want to be able to talk about a bunch of different things, like anything and everything. And they're like, well, why don't you call it the Variety Show? And I was like, oh. And then my one friend, she's like, and you could spell it V-A-R-E-I. Because everyone, like, my name is Riley, but like all my good friends call me Rye. So they're like, you can even like tie the Rye into the title.
Yeah.
And I was like, I love that. So I remember I ordered a mic. I was just YouTubing, like, how do you start a podcast? What kind of mic should I get? Like, I was just literally going off YouTube videos. And I just found the software and just took a big chance, and yeah, it's been so much fun. I'm trying to think how many episodes. I think I'm almost at like 40 episodes now, like one a week, but it's just been the coolest thing ever. I love being able to talk to Miss Ohio one week and then a pilot the next week. And it's just been incredible. Yeah. It's been so much fun.
You really do have a great personality for it. Like, you have others that suppose the podcast you. Voice. I think you have a good
thank
voice.
Thank you. You do too. You do too.
Okay, so you had mentioned Miss Ohio and then the pilot. How do you go about having people on your podcast? What's your process like for that?
Yeah, so I think like at first, I kind of remember I made a list in my phone. I'm like, okay, think about like your best friends. I was like, I have like three like main best friends. I was like, one's a pharmacist, two are pharmacists, one's like a chemist, one lives in New York. I was like, oh, like living in New York, that's cool. And then I like expanded the circle a little bit more to like some other friends. I'm like professional dancers, you know, a chef, this and that. So I kept just thinking like personally, like of people that I knew or like my parents knew, kind of going from there. And then I was like, you know, at this point, like, I just really want on anyone that has a cool hobby. They do a cool sport. They have like an interesting collection. They travel. Like, I really just wanted, you know, anyone and everyone on. So at some points I was, you know, randomly messing, like texting friends and they're all about it. Or I would like randomly just take a chance and message people on Instagram or comment on one of their TikTok videos. Like, hey, I love your videos. Like, I'd love to have you on my podcast. And surprisingly, a lot of people have been about it. I don't know why. Like, I feel like if I would have just been like, hey, you know, can I call you sometime to talk? They'd be like, no way. But when I'm like, oh, I'd love to have you on my podcast, they're like, sure. So it's been so cool. It's been so much fun. I love learning new things and meeting new people. And the variety show has been like a perfect excuse to do that. So it's been great.
Every episode that I've listened to of yours has always captivated me. So I really appreciate the variety aspect of it. You know what I mean? Like, it's nice to switch it up. Of course, people have their podcasts that are just whatever it is, you know, like I feel like a lot of strength. People have podcasts. I don't know why I feel like that.
Yeah.
But I feel like it's always about that. But I like that you never know what you're going to get on the variety show.
Yeah.
In the coolest way.
Yeah. Yeah. It excites me. And, you know, every week is different. Like my last two episodes, like one wants to be an orthopedic doctor. She's going to med school. She's super smart. And then the one before that were magicians that I literally met at town hall. They were doing magic at this restaurant. And I'm like, you guys are awesome. Like, do you want to be on my podcast? And they're like, yeah. So I just love how like nothing's ever planned. Right. I mean, I always try to plan ahead and things, but, it's definitely opened a lot of doors for me and I've gotten to sit down and talk one-on-one with people who I think are so incredible that I would have never had the opportunity to do before. So it's been awesome.
What are your friends saying about it? The ones that inspired you to do it and like kind of pushed you?
They love it. I mean, they think it's really cool. And yeah, I mean, I have to thank them because, especially my one friend, Heather, she was the one that really pushed me to do it. And, literally like, thank you to them because I don't think I would have ever done it. So
what do you think you've learned about yourself throughout the podcasting process?
I don't know. I mean, I think sometimes in life, like me or like other people, they might be like scared to do something new because they're scared of failing. They're scared of like it just not working and wasting their time and their money, and they kind of use that excuse to not do it. You know, it was definitely scary for me in the beginning because like I knew nothing about it at all. Like it's not like I took a lot of like communication classes. Like I wasn't like a news anchor. Like I didn't know how to interview people. Like I did not know what I was doing, but I took a chance and I don't know, like a lot of people seem to like it. The people I interview are like, wow, you're like really good questions. I'm like, really? Like, it just, I don't know. So I think I've learned, you know, even though something might be like new, you know, don't be scared to take a chance. And I think a lot of people could relate to that, whether it's starting a podcast or starting a new job or, you know, going back to school or really anything, you know, just not being scared because what's the worst that could happen?
Right. You know? Absolutely. Yeah. So to anyone that's listening, this is your nudge. If you're whatever you're thinking about doing and getting into, this is your nudge right here. Riley and I are tapping you on the shoulder and saying,
that's right. Because I mean, really, like, what's the worst that could happen? You know, I buy this mic and I don't know. I return it or I give it to my sister who's a singer. I don't know. Like, what's the worst that could happen, right? So take a chance. Yeah. Don't be scared.
Yeah, and you love it. I mean, look what happened. So cool. It's amazing how it's like sometimes is those things that are so unexpected or spontaneous or just not what you would think you'd be doing that are the most joyful and rewarding. And
I mean, if you would have told me last year that I'd have my own like clothing brand, I would have been like, no way, like literally no way. And here we are. So sometimes I think those times where you just take a chance and, you know, take a risk, like those are the times that it like pays off and it's all kind of worth it. So you never know. Take a chance.
Absolutely.
YOLO. That's really how I live my life. I know it's like so stupid and like something we said when we were like 8 years old, but right. I'm always like, just YOLO. Like you have one life. Like you got to do what makes you happy. And I don't know.
You should bring that back. That should be on a late night club hoodie.
Like, I should. I really should.
Says YOLO on it.
That's right. I'm a big believer in that. I mean, you know, you got to make the most out of it.
Why die and not know what could have been? I'm with you.
Right?
Yeah.
Yeah.
So, Riley, if you could interview one person, which is, in essence, what you do on a variety show, but if you could pick one person, no knock on anybody that you've interviewed or whatever, of course, but like just out of curiosity, if you could interview one person, alive, dead, know them, don't know them, whatever, who do you think it would be for you?
Great question. I feel like it would be really cool to interview like Walt Disney.
Okay.
Like I just think
Disney or Disney when he was alive.
Yeah. When he was alive. Like, he literally created this whole thing. I don't know. I just think it'd be really cool to kind of like dive into his brain and be like, how did you even, you know, come up with this empire that it is today? Like, it's insane. I think that would be really cool. Or like Ellen or Oprah. I don't know. I mean, there's so many cool people out there, you know, singers and movie stars. Like there's just so many people, but yeah, I don't know. Who would you interview on your podcast?
It's a good question. Yeah, I love that you just, I'll answer, but a quick thought is like, I love that all those people you mentioned, just, they did build their own empires. Like that, they're business minded.
Right.
Oprah, Ellen, all of them have business empires in their own right. So it's kind of interesting that those are the people that you're buying, where your brain went. Yeah, I'm with you. I would love to interview like spiritual people. I think it'd be fascinating to sit with like Gandhi or Dalai Lama, people that others hold in very high regard, you know, and that really dictate other people, how other people live. I think that's interesting.
Mm-hmm.
Or John Lennon. I'm a Beatles fan. I'd love to interview John Lennon.
Yeah.
So out there, like what does he actually think would be very interesting to hear. Maybe some tech gurus too. I think some tech gurus would be interesting.
Yeah.
New jobs.
For sure.
Twitter, maybe whomever, someone like that.
For sure. And that's why, like, another reason, like, why I love my podcast. And I'm sure you're the same way. Like, I just love being able to meet new people. I feel like everyone has a story, everyone has something that they're good at. And I just feel like you can learn something from everyone. I mean, I just think it's awesome, like, being able to sit down and just learn from people who have done whatever, you know, it's fun.
That's kind of like your podcast motto is like learning something from everyone. That's really cool.
Mm-hmm.
It adds to you saying like how you know a little bit about a lot, and that's good.
Yeah.
I mean, that's good. It's very diverse. So do you have any regrets, Riley? Do you have any big regrets? You're a YOLO fan, you're starting all these things. What would you say your biggest regret?
You know, I feel like, I guess I'm going to say I'm proud of myself in the sense that like, I always, like, I'm very like outgoing and adventurous. I'm a big believer in YOLO. Right. And I'm always like, kind of like, you know, the take advantage of every opportunity kind of girl. Like if someone's like, we're going skydiving, like, yeah, I want to go, we're going on this trip, I want to go. So there's not, like, I don't think there's anything I would really like change or anything I really like regret. I feel like something that comes to mind would be like, I feel like I regret those days when this might like sound dumb, but like the days that I would sleep in until like noon or one. Like, I feel like now looking at it, I mean, when I was working, like, I would get up at 4:30, go to the gym, go to work, do classes, do late night club. And I think I regret, like, the the time I had, or like maybe regret spending so much time on my phone. I think that might be a big one versus like, you know, being off my phone and with my friends and just like outside or doing something. So yeah, I think that would be my biggest regret, like wasting time. Like, I think our time is so like precious and valuable. So yeah, I think that'd be my biggest regret, just wasting time, whether that's like sleeping or on my phone, and not just like living and creating and traveling and being with people that I love. So
that's so powerful. Really. I mean, that's so powerful. And I think we can all relate to that. Oh my God, there are so many days where we fall trapped to the phone.
Right.
It's wild you say that, because I think the same way. Like I get up every day now too. So I just kind of started it. I'm like, all right, I don't, why am I sleeping in? I'm like, I'd love to get up and experience the world. It's the truth. You're right.
Yeah.
Would you have any advice with that, Riley? Do you have any advice to anyone that's listening, or to your younger self, or could be related to the regret aspect of it, or the wasted time in quotes? But
yeah, I mean, I don't know. Like I said, kind of throughout this episode, like, I'm a big believer in like, you know, you have one life, make the most out of it, take a chance. Don't be scared to take, you know, a risk on something, and, you know, don't be scared to say yes, you know, to traveling or meeting someone new, or, you know, starting a new project or something. You know, you, like I said, you know, you get one life, right? So it's like, what do you want to do with that? I think like my biggest fear is like being like 90 years old, sitting in a hospital bed, looking back on my life and being like, did I do everything, you know, I wanted to do? And I feel like where I'm at right now, I'm on the right path. Like I've done a lot of things I've wanted to do, which is great. But yeah, I mean, just live your life to the fullest, you know, do things that make you happy. Yeah, I think, sorry, that was like a lot of different things, but I think that would be like my biggest piece of advice, or pieces of advice, I guess.
Those are great. It's funny. My sister was going through old picture books the other day, and she was sending pictures, like baby pictures. And I love just like the zeal that little kids have. And I was, the thought hit me the other day, so you'll probably see some content on this on my part soon. But just the idea that like when we're kids, we're so energetic, we're so charismatic, we're so curious. And then how would we as young kids be proud of who we are now? And like, would we appreciate what we as human beings are doing now?
Good point. Yeah.
And, you know, like, because we were, when we were young, the one picture that really strikes me, I was on like a little roller coaster thing, and my face in the first picture is just of shock. I mean, fly out of this thing. And
yeah.
It was. And then the second picture, I'm just smiling like ear to ear. And it's kind of, I wonder, am I doing things now that kind of captures that courageousness, that charisma? And I don't know. Yeah.
Right. Like, would your younger self be proud of like where you are now? I think that's like huge, and like something like I'm definitely going to think about like when we get off the Zoom call, because it's so interesting though. You're so right. It's a good perspective, something I never thought about before. So that's a good point.
Yeah, it kind of echoes the sentiments of McConaughey's idea of, oh, who's your hero? And it's, oh, it's me in 10 years. And then same thing in that 10 years.
Right.
Everyone's, I think a lot of people are familiar with that speech. So a question that I have never asked before, but it's kind of hit me throughout our conversation. You're my trial run on it, Riley. So
yeah. Oh God, here we go.
Hopefully it's a softball for you. But when looking at other people, if you could define in one word the most, what you look for in another person, not like romantically or whatever, but like what do you think is the most admirable
trait? Yeah. One word, I would probably say like driven.
Okay. I was guessing you were going to say ambitious. So I
yeah, like I really like vibe with people, I guess, who like, you know, they want to be successful. Like they like vision themselves like 20 years from now, I'm going to be doing this. Like, I mean, of course, like I have friends and sometimes I'm like this too, or I'm just like on the couch on my phone. Like, you know, I'm not saying every day I'm like, let's go.
Yeah.
But you know, yeah, I definitely look for people, and I think I'm friends with a lot of people who are just very driven, hardworking.
Totally. And knowing your friends, I couldn't agree more. Yeah. Or
yeah.
Some of them, I should say. Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
So Riley, one of my biggest contentions is that if we want to be happier, we ought to live grateful lives. So the more grateful we are, I think the happier that we are. Do you see gratitude playing a role in your life?
Oh, 1,000,000%. I mean, I am extremely grateful for everything, and my friends and family could tell you that. I think it's huge just to remember, you know, where you came from, and, you know, every day even I'm grateful just for, you know, being alive another day and getting to do other things. I have a sister who has cerebral palsy. So, you know, I think she definitely like just motivates me and just reminds me just to be grateful every day for just what you have, who you are, where you are in the world. We hear all the time, and even recently on the news, like these like bombings and things with like Israel and all that going on. And there's just so many people out there, I think, who are less fortunate than I am, than you are, than any of us are. So I think gratitude is huge. I think it's so important just to, you know, pay it forward, volunteer and give back whenever you can. But yeah, I mean, I think it's huge. I think it's really important that people, like, you know, are grateful for what they have and kind of just keep that in the back of your mind. So
amen to that. Yeah, that's really well said. Riley, I really appreciate your energy and just kind of your willingness to share your thoughts and your ideas. It's been an absolute honor and a pleasure.
Thank you so much.
Do you have any kind of closing thoughts that you want to share? Any last piece before we wrap it up?
I guess if I had any last words, first, I just want to thank you for letting me come on your podcast. Yeah. Second, if you're listening to this and have any desire to be on my podcast, it doesn't matter who you are, where you live, what you do. I'd love to just learn more about you. If you're interested, my Instagram is The Variety Show. And that's V-A-R-E-I-T-Y Show. So you can message me on that. I'd love to have you on there. By Late Night Club, if you guys want a hoodie. Our website is just latenightclub.co. And I think if you use code, I think it's like drinks on me, you'll get 10% off. So you can buy a hoodie if you want. But yeah, no, I mean, this was a lot of fun. Thank you so much for your time. Thank you guys for having me.
Oh my gosh. Yeah. And I, for anyone listening, this will be all in the description. So you can refer to that. And if you're on YouTube, I will put the links to all the different things that we've talked about today in the description. So you can just click those and get your hoodies and start listening to The Variety Show. So awesome. Everyone, this has been another episode of Chats with Clark. Thanks for tuning in, and we'll talk to you next time.
Thanks.